Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you guys for coming. I get to see this when I'm not here. I get to see it in the room, and I've been watching today. It is such a good meeting. Glory to God. And I'm so glad you're here. I know Satan tries to keep people out of the meetings because he knows what will happen if they come. They find out the truth about him, and then he's in trouble. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we do love you and honor you. We thank you for all the good word that's come forth and all the word that is coming forth. And we give you praise, Lord. We believe for every person to hear the word that you have for them, to break them over the top, to cause them to come up to the top and over any situation that's in their lives, in their families, in their bodies. For we know that faith overcomes the world. Anything in the world, faith will overcome it. And so we thank you for wisdom today and blessing. And we just want you to know, Lord, we count ourselves a privileged generation to have this kind of word preached to us so that we can walk in faith and walk in victory and walk in blessing. And we're a grateful people. Just tell the Lord right now, I'm grateful for the word. We are grateful for the word, Lord. We want you to just reveal that word to us. We'll be good stewards and we'll be faithful and we'll obey it. In Jesus' name, thank you for giving us utterance and giving us hearing. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise God. I love the word. You know, I've never missed a believer's convention. I'm telling you, they're good. And I always get ministered to because I invite my favorite speakers. Ken invites his favorite speakers. So we love every convention. I like to hear people that can build my faith. I like to hear people that after I listen to them, I'm stronger than I was before I heard the message. Amen. So we're really grateful to have such wonderful speakers to come. And all of our speakers are busy. They just have to work us in, you know. But let's just keep believing they'll work us in. Amen. Because we want to hear the word of God. We're going to talk some more about the sower sows the word and keep looking at why things don't happen or things don't happen as soon as we want them to. A lot of times that has the fact that they don't happen as soon as we want them to really has nothing that we're doing short on our part. Because you don't have to show me your hands, but probably the biggest problem in this room right now is not sickness and disease, but it is finances. And that's the way it is. It's that way in the country, but we're in a different, you know, we go by a different set of rules than the other people in the world do. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, it's fair. You make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you go by a different set of rules. It's fair. God's always fair. But we go by the Word of God. And our economy is based in heaven. Our blessing, I love the blessing message, comes out of heaven into the earth. God moves things on our behalf. But even in financial things, there's a lot of times other people involved, other situations. But every one of them will give. Every one of them will yield to the Word of God. Every situation, whether it involves other people or not, will yield to the Word of God. But it just sometimes doesn't happen as fast as we want it to. Now, I heard Ken's message today. It was a romantic story, wasn't it? Mercy, mercy, mercy. What kind of a 19-year-old girl was I when a man said to me, will you marry me? And I said, okay. First date. Didn't know anything about him except what he had told me, so I had no idea if it was true or not. But I've got to talk good about him because he's probably watching right now. But anyway, it was a good story, and it was the master plan. It was the master plan. It was a master plan for a a little girl from Arkansas that had never been anywhere much in the whole world. I think I'd been to Oklahoma and Texas. And it was just the Lord. But He's got a great plan for us. And it can be, I don't know why I got in on that plan. It was just the blessing of God, the mercy of God, that allowed us to Ken and me both, to come to be able to minister the gospel. And, you know, it's just God's good. And I believe from the Word of God, and I've, of course, written about it in the Master Plan, but I believe that God has a plan for everybody. This is not my message today, but let's read Ephesians 2:10. And I'll show you that scripture. I like it in the New Living Translation. This is verse... Hold on. Well, it's 2:10. And it goes through... it starts with 2:8. God saved you by His special favor when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things that He planned for us long ago. Glory to God. We're born anew. When we're born over in Christ Jesus, we're fitted to do the work that God's called us to do. Isn't that awesome? So it doesn't matter what we are in the natural. When we answer the call to God, He changes us from the inside out, and He enables us to do everything He's called us to do. It's a wonderful thing, God's master plan. He's got a plan for us. There is a scripture in Psalm 138 or 139. This is not my subject. This is extra. That says that He saw us when we were formed in our mother's womb. Glory to God. He had a plan for us. Does everybody have to walk in His plan? No, He gives everybody the right to turn it down. But who would want to turn down a perfect plan, a good plan, a wonderful plan, a blessing plan? Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? You think, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, the more you walk with Him, the more you'll know what He's called you to do. But He has a plan for you. You're His masterpiece. When you were born over again, you were born over in God. All things are possible to him that believeth. And that's all we have to do is believeth. And then we have to spend time with God enough to understand and know what He's telling us to do. But I'll tell you this. I've never known anybody that was in the flow of the master plan for their life that wasn't delighted to be there. It is so far above anything that you would do in the natural. We're doing, Ken and I are doing today, things that are so far above what we would have done if we'd have had our way back there years ago and done what we thought we could do, you know. That's not my message. I'm throwing that out at you. But here's my message. I'm going to talk some more about the sower sows the word, but today I'm going to read from mostly from Matthew 13, which is the same message. But I want to show you some interesting, I mean, it's just a different account of the same message that Jesus was preaching. Let me see where I want to start here. Matthew 13, let's look first at the end of it. I want to show you something at the end of it that I don't think I mentioned yesterday. Matthew 13, 34. This is near the end of his sermon. He said, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Now, as you look back here at what Jesus was teaching and preaching, Jesus, according to that scripture, He's unfolding things that had been mysteries, I believe the Amplified says, things, or the New Living One says mysteries, that had been hidden in these parables, he was showing things that had been hidden from the foundation of the world. Isn't that awesome? That's Matthew 13:34 and 35. I thought that was just outstanding. All these things Jesus spake unto the multitude in parables, without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, I will open my mouth, by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And that's in Matthew 13, just after he told the parable of the sower sows the word that we talked about yesterday. And then he began to tell some other parables. So I want to go back to Matthew 13, and we will read this account. Yesterday we mostly read Mark's account. Same sermon, just two different accounts. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. A great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into the ship. Now, as we read this, just think about being out there on the beach with Jesus teaching you. So many people there, he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, in our generation, we're having those parables revealed to us. And, you know, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, Jesus paid the price for our sins. And then he sent the Holy Spirit into the earth to reveal all these secret things to us, things that had been hidden. We get to see what they mean. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. Shallow, they planted too shallow. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. No root, it withered away. The plants withered away. The seeds withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. And other fell into good ground and brought them forth 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why speak thou unto us in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them that are without, in other words, it is not given. Now, what did we read over here in verse 35? I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So these parables that Jesus was giving and then teaching the disciples, perhaps in private, they were secrets of the manifestation of the kingdom of God that had been hidden until Jesus himself revealed them. And here we have them written down, and we've been born again. We have a new spirit. We can receive truth. Most of us filled with the Holy Spirit. All of us should be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you ain't going fur. You know why? Because the Spirit of God is the teacher. And this, just like these people couldn't see really the crux of the parables, the message that Jesus was giving that day, because they didn't have any light. They were just looking at it as a story in the natural. But we get born again, and we get filled with the Spirit of God, and he is the teacher of the church. The Holy Spirit, sent from God, can live in you and me and every person that will receive him, and be our own private teacher. That's why your private time in the Word of God should never be boring. You're not alone. If you're spirit-filled, you've got the Spirit of God there to enlighten you. And that's why it's so exciting to spend time in the Word. Once you understand that and you begin to flow with the Spirit, you get your own revelation right there. You get sermons that are just as good as anybody else preaches in the whole world. And it's just you and the Holy Spirit. So that's why you, when you flow in the Spirit, you look forward to your time in the Word. It's not something that you say, oh, well, I'm supposed to read every day, every day, every day. No, it's something you look forward to because you know you're going to see truth. And what did Jesus say about truth? You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Glory to God. That's why the believers' conventions are so wonderful. We have many truth givers here to preach to us. Others fell on good ground. Let's see. Verse 11 says, let's look at 8 again. And brought forth fruit. Some fell among thorns. We read about that yesterday. Others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, or to those that are without, it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. Whoever has revelation knowledge, to him, or truth, shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. Because you just keep increasing and increasing and increasing. After all, it's revelation about God. How could you ever learn all there is to know about him? But you just continue to learn. There's not an abundance famine. There's not a revelation famine. The Spirit of God has been sent to do what? To lead us into all the truth. And we're not nearly there yet. So we can spend a whole lifetime in this revelation of God, always increasing. You might know one thing, you might know a revelation this year, but then next year, this time next year, it may have grown so much that it's just like new revelation. It's wonderful. Revelation is wonderful. It gives you victory. It causes you to see light when you're in the physical dark. It causes you to see yourself healed when your body says you're sick. It causes you to see yourself prosperous when the bank says you're overdrawn. How does that happen? Revelation. And then you begin to spend time in the Word, and the more you spend, the more revelation you get, and the bigger the revelation comes in you, so the greater your faith, and the more you release your faith out of your heart with your mouth, good things come to pass, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Good things come to pass. It's a wonderful plan, and the thing is, it works for anybody. For whosoever, in verse, it is given for you, unto you, to know the mysteries. There he used that term again that he used in the 34th and 35th verse, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him, whosoever has insight revelation, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. You know, you can receive from God, have a miracle, but then if you don't retain the word of God, what you had will drift away. You can't live on last year's word. You can't come to the convention this year and say, well, I'm going to give this week to the convention, and then I'm just going to ignore the Bible all year long, and I'll go again next year and get another dose. You'll have a lousy year. Revelation can't be stored up for long lengths of time. You have to keep fresh revelation going in there, or it becomes a habit or a tradition. Glory to God. So what do? Well, we're free people. We can store up as much of the Word of God as we can take. And that's the way we like to live. That's the way you live free. And it says, whoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. You'll lose what you have if you don't have the revelation of it. Therefore speak to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And then it says, verse 15, for this people's heart is wax gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted. Any time they open their eyes, they hear with their ears, they understand with their heart, they will be converted. They should be converted. They can be converted, and I will heal them. What is that called? What happens when revelation comes to the surface and goes down into your heart and comes out of the Bible to your eyes, your ears? The Word. That's faith. What happens when you get revelation in your heart? Faith. What happens when you get revelation of healing? Faith from the Word. Faith comes. What happens when faith comes? Faith the taker, faith the receiver. Glory to God. Faith, believing God, because He says so in His Word, comes into your heart, and you become a receiver of whatever that promise is. Hallelujah. Well, let's just hold our place there, and let's look at the old faithful scripture, Mark 11. Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, that I'm teaching this week started out with, what do you do and why do things seem slow and what do you do when things don't seem to be working and so on? Well, here's what you do. You do this right here. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. And that word means take them in prayer, and you shall have them. Take them in faith, and you shall have them. So what do you do when it seems slow? One thing, God's never the problem. He's not overlooking you. He's not holding anything against you. He loves you. He's for you. He's never the problem. So who does that leave? You and me. The reason we don't receive is we don't do things His way. If we do things His way, we do receive. But even when we do things His way, sometimes it takes a while to get all the things in line that we're believing God for. So what do if it takes a while? We exercise patience. The force of patience. What does it say about the force of patience? Is that force that does not yield to circumstances or succumb unto trial. If we have to wait, what do? We wait in faith. We know it's never God's fault. We look at ourselves. What am I saying? That would be the first place to look. When things don't happen, you look right here at this hole under your nose, and you see what you've been saying. There's just something seems like built into us in the natural that if we don't have it, we don't see it with our eyes, I should say. If we don't see it with our eyes, we consider we don't have it yet because we can't drive it, we can't live in it, we can't wear it, we can't feel it. So we believe we don't have it yet, really. And we begin to say, well, I prayed for that, but I don't have it. Nothing's happened. I've been believing for money, but I don't have any money. Where did you miss it? You believed, you prayed, and you believed God, assuming you believed God, assuming you had word to stand on that causes faith. But now you're saying, I don't have it. You believed God, and you believed Him, and you released your faith for finances, let's say, a certain amount of finances. Now, time goes by. You're still under pressure. You can't pay the bills. It may be only 2 weeks, but the pressure's there. Why? Where does that come from? That's the devil putting pressure to get you to let go of your faith. He knows how things work. So what is that showing us? Well, you have to hang in there till the change comes. Patience have her perfect work. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, as love is a fruit of the Spirit. Do you automatically walk in love just because you've got love in your spirit and your born-again spirit's got love in there? No. You don't automatically walk in love. People tick you off. People make you mad. You want to, maybe they do you wrong. But love that's in there, actually in there, you're born again, the fruit of the Spirit's in there. Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Now, do you have to walk in love just because it's in there? No, you don't have to. And if you don't do it on purpose and you don't go after love and follow after love, as the Scripture says, you will not walk in love. It is not a natural thing to walk in love in the earth. It's a supernatural thing. You have to do it in the power of God. I'm talking about after you're born again, after you're filled with the Spirit, after the force of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is in your spirit. The fruit of the Spirit's already there. You have to make a decision. I'm going to walk in love. And you're going to respond in love. It's your decision. You can be born again, spirit-filled. You can just be mean as the devil. You can be. You can be selfish. You can be ugly. You can talk mean to people. You're not supposed to be. Now, put that back in the same aspect of receiving and faith. You're born again. The spirit of faith, the fruit of faith or faithfulness is in you, in your new spirit. Do you have to walk in faith? Nope. Love is in there. Do you have to walk in love? No. Patience is in there. Do you have to walk in patience? No. What do you have to do in those situations? You have to yield to the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now you think about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. And if you had all those forces release out of you, you would be a happy man. You would be a happy woman. Nothing could take your joy. People could do you wrong and you say, Lord, I forgive them. Bless them. They don't know what they're doing. You could be under pressure and look like, you know, it's just going to all end and you've had this bad thing bugging you night and day for weeks and weeks and weeks. And you can yield to the force of patience. And you can just keep moving forward. Just keep going. What does the devil do? He comes to attack the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Get you out of love. Love is our commandment. If we're not going to walk in love, we're not going to be obedient. And if we're not obedient, we won't be walking in the blessing that God intends for us to walk in. The point I want to make today is that all things are possible to him that believeth. When you get born again, all these forces are in you. It's possible for you to yield to the fruit of the Spirit and walk in total victory. Even if everything's not okay out here on the outside, you know, your circumstances, your situation doesn't seem to be changing or doing anything, you can hold steady on the Word of God. You can walk in love. Maybe you're being mistreated by somebody. You can love them. That's powerful. Fruit of the Spirit is powerful. I'm telling you, it's powerful. The fruit of the Spirit will stand up against any situation, any test, any trial, any temptation. Anything anybody does to you, you are so powerful on the inside with the newborn spirit and that spirit being made up of fruit of the Spirit. That you can pass any test. You can do it in love. And then there's always joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You can do it in joy. We just have to walk in the things that belong to us. Amen. And it's up to us. It's up to us. So this fruit of the Spirit is in us, and we yield to it. And it's our decision, our commitment. To walk in the fruit of the Spirit is commitment. So we don't have to ever get undone about anything. If it takes too long for something to happen, we've got patience. If somebody comes up when we're believing God and we're on a mission, we're believing God for this or that or somebody's salvation or something that we need in this life, a house, a whatever, a ministry, a church, whatever it is, and somebody comes up and insults us, talks bad about us, persecutes us. You know, I'll tell you a little secret about persecution. This will help you, especially if you're in the ministry or even if you're doing anything special. You could be a businessman. You could be very wealthy. Well, people will want to, if they don't want you to give them a job, they can persecute you because of that wealth. Jesus just said it this way. Or if you're out there, you're on the cutting edge of ministry, you're walking in the gifts of the Spirit, you're doing things called, and every generation, you know, will have people that step up and they come up to another level and they do things just a little more powerful than the last generation. Why is that? Because the church is always on the move. And what happens? Somebody comes to do you wrong, you know, talks bad about you. Maybe you're the pastor of the church and, you know, bad things are being said about you. Maybe you're a television ministry and people don't like that. And so what did Jesus say? He said this, and you can just let drop persecution right here and you never have to think about it again. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Jesus was perfect. None of us are perfect. Jesus was perfect. He did no wrong. He did miracles. He did all the signs, the wonders, and everything, and he did it perfect without sin. And they crucified him. And he just simply said to the people in his day, and I don't remember exactly who he was talking to now, but perhaps the disciples, at least if he was talking to others, he was certainly talking to them too. And he said this, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. The only way not to get persecuted is not to do anything. And not to have anything that makes people jealous. You don't have to be a minister to be persecuted. People will persecute you. I mean, the devil will stir up other devils to work against you. But that has nothing over you and me. Glory to God. That is not my subject today, but it's a good subject. Because why does persecution come? To shut your mouth. And you know, sometimes it works on people. Sometimes you can get just so down and depressed over what people think about you or what they say in the newspaper about you or whatever. But take it from somebody who's been there. There's nothing to it. There is nothing to it if you'll just keep going straight on doing what you know to do and not be moved by that. And remember what Jesus said. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. There's one way not to get persecuted, and that's don't do anything. That counts. Amen? So we don't have to worry about that. That's no deal. We've been there, done that, lived through it. So, and you know, really, it never has really bothered us much, and it's never really had a much effect on us. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it hadn't shut off the finances, it hadn't done this, it hadn't done that. That's just an example. Persecution's just an example. But we can walk through any situation, and we can walk in victory if we have the Word of God in us and if we release our faith. Now, let's look back here at Jesus' message. And he said in Matthew 13, let's see, where was I? Let's just go here. Let's go back to the sower went forth to sow. Some fell on The seeds fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony wayside. That's when the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the stony places, and it had no depth of the earth. Verse 6 says in Matthew 13, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now, many believers are whipped because they don't have any root. What would that be? The root of the Word of God. If you know the Word, for instance, just take persecution. If you know what the Bible says about persecution, there's no reason for you to let it bother you. It's just part of the package. But if you don't know the Word, then you're gullible. You're open for it to bother you. That's just one example. So some fell. He sowed some seeds fell by the wayside. Some seeds fell on stony places where they had not much root, and forthwith they sprang up because they sprung up because they had no deepness. They came right up. Now, some people come and listen to the Word of God in the meetings and the conventions, and they get real excited about it because you're in an atmosphere of faith. You're in an atmosphere of the Spirit of God, and you sit here and get revelation. Then you go home, and you don't continue in the Word of God, and your faith subsides. It doesn't go away. It's just not being developed, and it's not increasing. And when trouble comes, then you don't have anything to resist that trouble with. Sickness comes, lack of money comes, whatever it is. And you haven't continued. This would be your problem right here. The Word. You didn't stay with the Word enough to get to the depth of it. And then when you get to the depth of it, you still have to stay in the Word. You can't be victorious supernaturally without a continual diet of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and you cannot walk in victory without your faith. What is faith? Faith is believing what God says rather than what the world says, the devil says, the circumstances say. So it's up to us to continue in the Word. Jesus said this, continue in my Word, and you will be my disciples indeed. In other words, He was saying, continue in my Word and you will follow me. And that's the only way we can do it. None of us. I mean, Ken and I have been in ministry for over 40 years. But we can't. If we just started goofing off, maybe not even being in sin, but just not reading the Word, not feeding our spirits, we would soon be weak. I don't want to be weak. I like victory. I like to be strong in the Lord and win battles. Hallelujah. And it's up to you and me. It's our decision. How much place are we going to give the Lord in our lives? And however much place that is, that's how much victory we'll have. Now, you know, it's easy for us now because we love the Word and we always have. I mean, once we found out the truth, we were so tired of being broke, disgusted, and sorry and sad. I'm telling you, we were tired of it. We were tired of not being able to pay our bills. We were tired of not having victory over sickness and disease. We were tired of just being under the devil's thumb. And we didn't want any more of it. When we heard Brother Hagin teach about faith and the Word of God, we hit it like a bass hitting a fly, as Brother Copeland would say. We hit it. I mean, we hit the Word. We got all the tapes, what few there were, we got them. And I listened to them. I took notes on those tapes. There were only about, I don't know, probably less than 10 tapes, reel-to-reel tapes at that time. Because Brother Hagin had preached a meeting in the 60s there at a church in Tulsa, and most all the tapes came out of that meeting. And so I have this clear picture of myself listening to the reel-to-reel tapes of 7-inch reels, just me and that little house Ken talked to you about in Tulsa that was not my favorite place to live. And I was in there. I was in the glory. Man, you'd have thought I was in a castle. I was so happy. I was hearing about tapes, faith. And I heard on this tape, I was listening to this tape, you can have what you say. What an eye-opener that was. And then sometimes if you want to know what the problem is, that'd be the first place I'd look. Why am I not receiving? Well, what are you saying? For one thing, you just told me you're not receiving. So we know that that mouth is a problem. And you know, that's the first place to look when things aren't working. What are you saying? You can have what you say. If you believe it in your heart, you say it with your mouth, you can have what you say, Jesus said. So here we were in debt, having trouble paying bills. What, you know, we had no money, we had bills, couldn't pay them. It was pressure. And I was listening to this. You can have what you say. Mark 11:23. And I just began to get it. And I was reading that. I was listening to Brother Hagin preach this one day. Let me just read it to you. You know it, but I'm going to read it. Let's put our eyes on it. Mark 11. And it was about you can have what you say. So Mark 11, 21 says, 22 says, Jesus saying unto them, after they saw the fig tree cursed, you know this story, but it's not knowing it that'll make you delivered. It's actually believing it and doing it. They saw the fig tree that Jesus spoke to dried up from the roots. Now, the only way that I can see they knew it dried up from the roots was that there was maybe still some green leaves up here on top. It had only been the day before. And now, look at that. From the bottom up, it dries up. You know, you just think in the natural that if the fig tree began to dry up, to go, the leaves would all fall out. But apparently, there must have been still some leaves there because it said it dried up from the roots. When Jesus spoke to that fig tree, that sucker began to die. And by the next day, it was obviously and apparently dead. And so the disciples said, Master, the fig tree which you cursed, they knew what he had done to it, is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Believe God. How do you have faith in God? You believe what he says. Well, I don't know what he says. Well, that's the problem. That's where faith comes from. If you want faith in God, you've got to know what he says. You've got to have words to stand on. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever... Well, I knew I wasn't much, but I knew I was a whosoever. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now, I'm telling you, if you're not getting answers to prayer, you better start saying something backed up by the Word of God in your heart. Have faith in God. Yeah, but I've been having faith in God and nothing's happening. That is not faith in God. That is nothing's happening. Faith says, I have it. Anytime you start talking you don't have it, you're sick, you're broke, you're in trouble, and God's not hearing your prayer or you're not getting anywhere or whatever unbelief you say, you don't have it. You don't have it. You don't have faith in God. If you're not saying it, you don't have faith. Well, Gloria, that's mean. I'm not mean. I'm telling you the truth. It's mean. The devil's mean. He's the one that wants you to keep saying you don't have it so he can have a place to live. For verily, Jesus said, I am telling you the truth. I say unto you that whosoever, that would be me. Say, I'm a whosoever. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, say this, I can say, I can speak words. I am a whosoever who can speak words. Therefore, I qualify. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. How do you keep from doubting in your heart? Putting your eyes on the Word and your ears hearing the Word. That's how faith comes. You can't live on last year's convention. You can't live next month. You can't live on this convention. It'll be good to be remembering what you heard here, You can live on that. You can live on what you heard, but you've got to keep it going in your eyes and in your ears to retain it. So, I was telling you where I was listening, learning this from Brother Hagin, but I'm going to read this and I'll tell you about it. That whosoever shall, whosoever, I was a whosoever shall say to this problem, this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. There is only one way to keep from doubting in your heart, and that is to put the Word of God in your heart through your eyes and through your ears. What happens when you hear the Word of God and you take it? Faith. Faith. Faith is manufactured through the Word of God, going in your eyes, in your ears. You hear it, and you receive it, and you retain it. Shall not he whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. How do you get rid of doubt? Faith, the Word of God, going in your eyes and in your ears until it drives out all doubt. And it can't be stored up for any length of time. You got to have fresh word to have fresh faith. But shall believe, he'll not doubt in his heart, whosoever shall say, he says it, he says what he wants to come to pass, he shall not doubt in his heart, down in here in your spirit. Only one way to keep from being a doubter, and that's to keep the Word of God going in your eyes and in your ears. Otherwise, you'll begin to doubt. You'll begin to say wrong things. The first place you look if you're not getting action is, what am I saying? Give yourself the saying test. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. I was sitting there in that little house that day, and I was taking notes on the Brother Hagin teaching on faith. And I saw it. I saw. I have to believe that those things, not just a thing, if I'm believing for healing, then I believe that healing comes to pass for me. No. I have to have faith, because Jesus said it, that whatever I say, and the Word consistently talked to me, whatever I say consistently comes to pass. And here's what I heard that day. In consistency lies the power. Now, I knew I was supposed to be talking right. But that day I saw, just listening to that tape, taking notes on it, and it was a tape. It was a 7-inch reel-to-reel tape, big one. I saw that it's what I consistently say that comes to pass in my life. Which doesn't mean just because I say it one time, or I say it in a meeting, or I say it, you know, when my faith is high, I say I have it, or I'm delivered, or my finances are recovered, or whatever it is. Just because I say it once doesn't mean I've said it, according to Mark 11. It's what I consistently say that comes to pass in my life. If I want the supernatural power of God to move in my life, I have to consistently, if I want healing, I have to consistently say I'm healed. Even when I hurt, even when the symptoms are still there, I have to continue to say I'm healed. What if I believed I received my healing, I said it for a little while, I felt the pain again, and then I say, I guess I didn't get my healing. What will I get? Nothing. Not anything. Nada. Amen? I have to keep saying over my finances until my finances are manifested. And then after they're manifested, if I want them to stay manifested, I have to keep saying, I believe I receive abundance. I believe the Lord meets my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That day, there I sat. This was a real breakthrough for me. I saw that what I consistently say is what comes to pass in my life. So if you believe, my message this week, if you wonder what in the world it was, I'll tell you. It was, what am I doing that's keeping me from receiving? It's never God's fault. He's not ever the one that's missing. He never misses. If things aren't working, we begin to go into the Word of God and we begin to see, what am I doing? We don't have to talk about it. We don't have to say it's not working. We don't have to tell people I'm missing it somewhere. You don't have to talk that. You just keep believing and saying what you want to come to pass. But then start searching and say, do your research and see, where am I missing it? Now, this would be the first place to look, your words. You can't have faith in action without right words. It can't happen. It can't happen. If you're saying, I don't have it, you don't have it. If you're saying, well, I thought I was healed, but I guess I'm not, you're not. Why? Because you're saying the wrong thing. It's so simple, but that's just the way it is. And so this the first place to look, especially if you know you're not living in sin and all that, things aren't going to work for you if you don't serve God. We don't have a long time here today. My time's about up. If you want to live supernaturally, you're going to have to walk with God and be loyal to Him. If you want Him to be loyal to you, you're going to have to be loyal to Him. Well, what do I mean? I mean, if the Bible says something's wrong, you don't do it. If the Bible tells you to walk in love, you walk in love. You forgive. You don't count anybody's trespass against you. You forgive them. What happens when you do what this scripture says here? And you walk in faith and somebody does you wrong. They really did you wrong. Maybe they stole from you. Maybe they did this. Maybe they did that. They really did you wrong. What do you do? What do you have to do according to the Word? Even when you don't want to do it. You forgive if you have aught against any. Yeah, but they did me wrong. They nearly ruined my life. Well, nearly is not as bad as totally ruining your life. And if you get an unforgiveness, they will totally ruin your life. We cannot be an unforgiveness. Not if we want to stay well, not if we want to prosper. So I'm just telling you that Jesus has told us here a key. And let's just keep looking here and see what He said. You don't doubt in your heart. And what I saw that day was this. Inconsistency lies the power. In the consistency of my words lies the power of my deliverance. Whatever it is, I'm believing God for. And if I'm wishy-washy and I say it both ways, and I go to church and I say I believe I receive my healing, because that's what you're supposed to do, and then I come home and I tell my friends and my relatives, my husband, I'm sick. That's what the Bible calls a double-minded man. And we know that in the Word it says a double-minded man shall receive no thing. Nothing. Now, who's it left up to? Yeah, but I think that's so hard to say I'm healed when I hurt. And people say, how are you? And I want to say, I'm miserable. I hurt. It's so hard. Well, what do you say? Say, I believe I'm healed. Just keep saying. Say what you want to come to pass. In consistency lies the power. It's much harder to be sick than it is to say, I'm healed, even when the pain is there. You can say, I have believed I've received my healing. And that's all you need to say about that. I've believed I've received my healing. I believe I've received my healing. You don't have to tell them all the medicine you're taking. You don't have to tell them what you hurt, that you woke up hurting in the night. You don't have to tell them that you still have a symptom. Just say, I believe I've received my healing. Glory to God. I have it, and I won't let go of it. Amen? Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, whosoever, I'm a whosoever, unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith. You got to believe the things that you say come to pass. Not just one thing that you're okay, I'm going to say this in faith and it's going to come to pass. No, what you continually say, things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, it's obvious here, either way, you're going to get what you say. Good or bad. And it's up to you and me to be smart enough to say right, to say good. Therefore, Jesus said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. When do you believe? When you pray. Not when you see. Believe when you pray that you receive them and you shall have them. That word receive there is a really strong action word. It means to take. When you pray, believe that you take them and you shall have them. Now, according to what else is said here, you could say, believe that you take them and talk as if you have them also. Amen. You take it and you talk it. You take it and you talk it. You take it and you talk it. You don't talk something different. You don't say, I don't have it. I'm telling you, if you want to, you know, if you want whatever it is you're after, you go for it and don't quit. You take it when you pray and you talk it till you see it, till you write it, till you live in it, till you deposit it. You take it and you talk it. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. The devil comes to say, you don't have it. Relatives may come to say, you don't have it. Relatives may say, you mean you're still doing so and so, and you still doing this, and you still don't have a job, and, you know, who can account for relatives? Well, we don't have to account for relatives. All we have to do is say it, take it, and say it. The devil comes to say, you don't have it. You have that pain come back that you thought was gone. Don't take it saying, I have pain. Or don't take it saying, I don't have the money. Don't say, I don't have the money. Say something. Think of something to say, but don't say you don't have it. You can say, I believed I've received it. Thank you. I have it. I believed I've received it. Or, you know, when people come to you and they just nose around, you don't have to say anything. You can say, excuse me, I have to leave now. You know, let's get a grip on this thing. But we are not going to say opposite of what we believe we received. For when we prayed, we took it. Now I want you to get a grip on that. When you pray, when you ask God for something, see yourself taking that thing. How are you taking it? By faith. Your faith is taking that healing. I take it. Make it just an obvious move of taking. That's receiving. Believe you receive when you pray. Believe you take it when you pray. And then when you say, I have it. I have it. I've believed, I've received my healing. Pain comes. I have believed, I've received my healing. I believe I have taken my healing. I have taken my healing. You could just shorten it and say, I have taken my healing. I'm not moved by that. Maybe you get a diagnosis from the doctor. I've taken my healing. I've taken my healing. Honor the doctor, bless the doctor. But I have taken my healing. I'm telling you, we have to be like those mighty men of David that we talked about earlier in the week. I was reading all about them, and I intended to preach some of it today, but I didn't get around to it. So you look it up in 2 Samuel 22, I think. But that's a great parallel to what faith has to do. We have to take that ground. We have to take it. Satan is a what? He's a thief. He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. He takes from us. He tries to take our health. He tries to stop our money. He tries to do this. He tries to do that. He's a thief. He doesn't own anything, so he wants something for his own. Well, he can't have mine. I'm going to be like that giant over there, David's mighty man, not a giant, but a mighty man. And I'm going to defend my territory. Isn't that? You just get over there. Maybe we've got a few minutes. Let's see if we can read a little bit of that. Look at 2 Samuel. I loved looking at this today, and I thought, man, that just is the way it is. Now here, and this is interesting. I wanted to read this whole thing today, and then I got going in a different direction. But if you'll look at the first verse of 2 Samuel 23, it says, "Now these be the last words of David." Well, David, you know, the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. He was a powerful man. He was a fine king. He was just God's man. These be the last. Now, wouldn't his last words be interesting, don't you think? These were the last words of David, the son of Jesse. And he said, little David, the giant killer, "And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God, of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, and he that ruleth over men must be just," talking about him himself as king, "at ruling in the fear of God, and he shall be as the light of the morning." These are the last words of David. "He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises," the one who sang the psalms to us, who wrote the psalms for us, many of them, "even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth, by the clear shining after the rain." So as he was leaving this world, he was thinking about God. And he was thinking about the mighty men. He began to think about the mighty men that he had. And listen to this. Listen to how this, I don't know if this is still something he's saying or if the scripture just began to teach about the mighty men here. But look at verse 8. Let me just read you a few things about these mighty men. Because if we're going to be faith men and women, we're going to have to be mighty men and women. We're going to have to fight over our, we're going to have, let's see, what do I want to say? We have to fight the good fight of faith. We're not out there fighting with swords and spears, but we're fighting with faith out of our heart with the words of our mouth. Fight the good fight of faith. That's what we're called to fight. And so as we read about these guys fighting literally and defending their ground, listen to what kind of mighty men. We want to be mighty men and women of faith, don't you? I want to be a strong woman of faith. It says these are the names of David's mighty men. And it, you know, I don't know all those names. I never knew anybody named Tocmonite that sat in the seat. He was chief among the captains. And the same was true for Adonai. I don't know. I never even talked to anybody named that. He lift up his spear against 800. Can you imagine one man having so much? And they were doing that under the power of God. No natural man could kill 800 people at one time. It said he slew 800 people, 800 men at one time. And another one of the three, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. Now these men were fighting for their life, and they were fighting for the king, and they were fighting for Israel. They were called mighty men. They were mighty men of war. Now you and I have got to be mighty men and women of faith if we want to walk in victory in this life. You're not going to do that being a lazy Christian. So I like to read this about them. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. I mean, his hand I take that to mean that his hand, that sword was in the midst of his hand. It had gone all the way through his skin. And he had a great victory and great spoil. And then after him, Shammah, the son of Agee. You knew him, didn't you? And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. And he, Shammah, that may be where we get Shammah, I don't know. But he stood in the midst of the ground, this mighty man. Now see ourselves as a mighty man and woman of faith. He stood in the midst of the ground, and he defended it. He slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. He defended his ground. You know, we've been talking about good ground, stony ground. That was supposed to be my sermon today, and I never got back to it. Our rocky ground, stony ground, whatever all it was. I don't even know right now. But it was ground. Jesus used in that parable, he used ground. Here, this guy is fighting and contending for his ground. Our life is our ground. We're going to have to defend it with faith. You might as well not think that you're just going to float through life in victory without overcoming faith. And you're not going to have overcoming faith without overcoming word. You have to hear the word of faith to get faith. You can't hear the word of unbelief and tradition and get faith. But you and I, we can be a mighty man and woman of God. We can defend our ground just like David's mighty men did. David said, I'm thirsty. The mighty men took off. They whipped the Philistines and they brought David back water. They went right through the middle of them to get him water. Now that's the way we ought to be with the Lord. If the Lord wants something done, we ought to be willing to run right through the Philistines, through lack, through unbelief, through not even knowing how to do what we're called to do, but believing God for wisdom. Just the way those guys went through that troop and brought David back some water. Their leader, their commander wanted water. If our Lord and leader, Jesus Christ, wants us to go through a troop, we ought to be willing to go through the troop. If he wants us to build a church building and we don't know how to build it, we ought to be willing to say, I'll do it, I'll put my foot in the water, I'll take the next step. You show me what to do, and begin to believe you receive the money to do it. Amen. If he tells you to go on television and you don't have any money, you don't even know how to do, you can hardly spell television. You ought to say, I'll do it, Lord. Show me what to do. I'm going to take the next step. Amen. Glory to God. That's faith. Yes. Now, we've done that. We did that. We didn't know how to go on television. We didn't have any money to go on television. God's kept us there for 30 years, I guess. He's provided the money. We'd never lost a station because we couldn't pay our bills. Sometimes we couldn't pay our bills, but we didn't lose the station. We got the bill paid. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you just have to put your heels on the ground and say, I'm believing God and I'm not moving off this spot. This is my bean field, devil. And you get yourself out of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's time for somebody else now, but I want you to remember this. If you want victory, you have to go for it. And what did the scripture say? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Point to yourself and say, my faith. My faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Look who's here. Look who's here. Mighty man of valor. Mighty man of valor. Glory. The mighty man of faith.
Oh, let's give Sister Gloria another hand clap for that message.
Hallelujah.
This is the victory.
Yes.
That's a powerful word.
Praise God.
You know, one of the things that the devil would like to do is pull you out of the realm of faith.
That is right.
That's the key. If you can stay in faith, you'll have the victory.
That's exactly right.
Say that with me. If I stay in faith.
If I stay in faith.
I'll have the victory.
I'll have the
victory. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Give the Lord a praise.
I want you to hear me tell Brother Bill this. This is one of my favorite preachers in the whole world.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, take your seats for just a moment. We want to receive our afternoon offering. Now, this is a time that you are right here in the midst of some good soil. You're in the midst of some things that are going to happen in your life this week that'll transform it forever. And I tell you, we want to sow into it. We want to get as much as we can get. When you feel and see the glory of God, make sure you get into it right away, because there is some abundance coming out of that. And I know in these meetings, again, this is really, you know, a time that God really brought me up in the Word of Faith. I started in it, and then pretty soon God hooked me up with Brother and Sister Copeland, and I tell you, ever since then, our ministry has taken off. We're all over the world now, and so forth and so on. But I'm sowing into some good soil. I'm sowing into some good soil. So I want you to prepare a tithe, prepare your offering, and prepare to sow into this. This is going to be a good time to sow. I even prepared a seed. God spoke to me while I was back there. He said, prepare a seed for yourself. Praise the Lord. Just reminding you of the fact that they've got books and tapes and so forth out there. And those things, of course, are key for us to be able to enrich ourselves and continue to get that word going through us, even when we're not at a meeting like this. And no one in this whole preaching forum is trying to sell tapes and CDs. What we're trying to do is we're trying to edify the body of Christ, bringing the body of Christ up to another level. So I know it helped me. I've still got tape 20 years ago that I've been listening to and enjoying, and still got revelation coming out of them. But it's good to be in a place like this. And as you hear all week long, how many people are from out of the country? Anybody from out of the country here? Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Some people came by our church on Sunday. We're in Chicago, and they came by. They're just visiting on their way to the meeting here, and we just love you for that. We just want to support this particular ministry. It has been a blessing to so many people. Well, let's see. Praise God. Do you have your offerings ready? Amen. Let's do something just as an act of our faith. Let's just put it in our hand. Father, we just thank you now for the goodness of your giving to us. And Lord, this, as you have given us seed to sow, and Lord, we're now depositing that seed in good soil. And we're releasing this seed by faith, believing for God for the increase, for the hundredfold return, for the thousand times more, believing you for the corresponding return to our faith. And Father, we thank you, and we also sow this seed and believing you for revelation knowledge during this week, that you'll give us one word at least that will change our lives forever. Now we thank you for it. We sow this seed. Believe it's done in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Oh, we didn't get envelopes for them. Okay, if you would now, just get envelopes. Praise God. Amen. I was wondering why everybody was still looking at me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That just came out of the Fort Worth meeting as well. I was down there during that time. I wasn't a speaker. I was down there to get the word myself. And I tell you, powerful meeting. You're in for a powerful time this week. I tell you that right now. Yeah, come with your expectors out. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, you're in Wisconsin now. Praise God. We're in Milwaukee. Hallelujah. Where God lives. Hey, praise God. It's good to see everybody. Amen. Yep. thank you. Appreciate it. Well, God put on my heart to talk some more about the kingdom. And Brother Copeland's been preaching on this blessing, and I think he didn't just about preach it all. I'm telling you, I've been discovering some things about this blessing that are very, very powerful. Very powerful. Praise God. Now, don't get quiet just because you're giving now. I mean, praise God. Don't look so serious. Hallelujah. You draw water out of the well of salvation with joy. You got to keep some joy in your life. Amen. Flow. Oh, flow. Praise God. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who said that? Who said flow? Come on down here. Praise God. Praise God. First person said flow. Now, this is not going to happen every time. This is just the first time I preach. Praise the Lord. Come on down here. Amen. Flow. Flow. It's $100 for the man to flow. Praise the Lord.
You come back to North Carolina.
Yeah, okay. I come back. All right. God bless you. How about you? Oh, you sawing it back. Praise God. I believe I've received. Amen. Yes, indeed. Praise God. How are we coming? Are we just about there? Open your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 55, and we'll wait till they get done with the offering. We'll get started there. Hell! Glory to God. Doc, don't do me like that. You make me run. Woo! Glory to God. Okay. Isaiah chapter 55. All right, we got a couple more envelopes around. Just lift them up and the ushers will attend to you. Now, I'm just going to start today and we'll just kind of keep going in where we end up, the Lord knows. But guaranteed, if you just hear everything I say, tell you, I'm coming to expand the borders of your tent today. And we'll open you up so that you can get that billion flow going through you. Praise God. Amen. All right. If you will, let's, if you have your Bibles and you open them up to Isaiah chapter 55. We'll pray and we'll get started here. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, thanking you for this time in the Word of God. Thank you for the anointing that's on me in these lips of clay, that I may speak forth your Word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. I ask you now to think through my mind, speak through my lips, that this Word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. We give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to start reading. I'll really start from verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now we're talking here about the Word of God. And God begins in this particular reading by saying, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let's just deal with that. Excuse me. I tell a story oftentimes, and it's so appropriate for this. It came back to me as I was preparing for this lesson. It was about a man who was a businessman in the United States, and he was going to a foreign nation to transact some business. He was going to one of the Arab Emirates countries, and to like Dubai, one of those countries, and to transact some business. And he went there and did business, whatever the business was. And then he was coming back. Before he left, one of the members of the royal family over there came to him and asked him, said, "You're going back today. We'd like to give you a gift. What would you like?" He said, "Well, I really don't need anything. I'm just here on a business trip for my company," and so forth. He said, "Well, I understand that, but I still want to know, what would you like? It's our tradition to give a gift." He said, "Well, I like I said, I'm really not wanting a gift. We, you know, the company's policies and so forth and so on." He said, "I understand all of that, but I insist, because it's our tradition to give you a gift. And, you know, sometimes you're in those nations and you break tradition, it's offensive to them," and so forth. So he just said, okay. So he's trying to think of something that he could say that would be something within their grasp, some token or whatever have you. And he said, "Okay, fine, give me a golf club." The guy said, "A golf club?" He said, "Yeah, golf club." He said, "Oh, a golf club. Okay, fine." And he left. And about 3 weeks later, there came a knock on the door. And the gentleman at the door, he came and answered. He said, "Excuse me, are you Mr. Brown, Mr. Jones, or whatever his name was?" He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "My name is so-and-so. I came from the royal family. I came to take you to your golf club." Now, did you get that? One of them was thinking club. The other one was thinking club. He took them to 18 holes, putting greens, clubhouse. All of that was his. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Now I want you to hear this. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And when we had been programmed by a system that has trained us to think like that system wants us to think, then God is saying, whoa, wait a minute. There's a difference here. There's a difference here. Now notice, they were both saying the same words, but they were thinking different thoughts. So even though you're saying the same words to somebody, maybe me, maybe we're thinking two different things. Maybe we're thinking two different things. And I'm not saying you're thinking something different or better than me or whatever have you, but I want you to see this. Because this, I think, is the first thing that has to happen in the church. And God goes on and he says, "As the snow comes down from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh bring forth and bud, So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So, here, he is getting our thinking right. And the way we get our thinking right is not just by information, but by revelation. See? And that when I caught a hold of this, it is when our ministry absolutely took off. And I had to see that I believe that the church has got some information that is not on the level that God's thinking. And I figured it out. I said, you know, if you've been trying to get to Mississippi and you've been on the road for 40 years and you haven't gotten there, won't your lightning fast mind tell you maybe I'm on the wrong road? Now, are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying that the church should have made a much greater impact in the world than it has been at this point in time. And something's wrong with our thought process. That we got to come back to our thinking. Because something, somehow, it's been programmed by something that keeps us in a place where we're not making the impact that we should be making on this society at large. Amen. So I came here to talk about that. How you can make an impact as a church, as an individual, how God wants us to see ourselves, how where he wants us to go, how he wants us to perform, and what God has for you, and how to get it. Amen. And we need to talk about that. Amen. So, I'm going to declare and decree a thing. I release you from financial captivity. In the name of Jesus, you're released. All right. Now, so, here, I had to go back and start adjusting my thinking all the way through the Bible. I mean, just everywhere I saw this, I had to challenge myself. Because I'm seeing that, hey, wait a minute, something is not, it's not coming together here. It's not doing, I'm struggling, I'm so forth and so on. And when I caught a hold of this, I'm telling you, it was like being in turbulence in an airplane and all of a sudden hitting clear air. I mean, the struggle just went out of it. Now I understand that all these blessings come on me and just overtake me. I don't need to struggle. No more toil. Say no more toil. My days of toiling are over. God didn't design me for toil. He designed me for blessing. So, as I look at this, I then begin to look at the different scriptures and try to understand them from a maybe a little bit different context. And one of the things that I said now is we're talking about revelation knowledge. We're talking about thinking on two different levels, and we're talking about receiving God's word according to God's standard, not just our thinking. Because we come into the kingdom of God, you and I, once we are born again, we're born in the kingdom of God. And once we're in the kingdom of God, we become citizens of the kingdom and children of the Father. And here we are. Now we're in this world and everything shifts. Everything shifts. And I began to just go through here and look at how everything shifts. And I saw that once I could get a kingdom mentality, that I can go places that I never went before. But when I came into it, I had a denominational mentality. This is yours. We over here, you over there. Don't bother me. We won't bother you. So forth and so on. Well, the church says that didn't exist in here. Come on over here to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, please, which is smart self. Come on over there. Matthew chapter 16. Let me know when you get there. Praise the Lord. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some said, "Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." Then he said to them, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Now notice how they answered the first. The first time they answered, it was guesswork. Do you realize to have to guess as a believer is under the curse? See, you got the Holy Ghost. He knows, he's got an anointing on you that knows all things. You don't have to guess. Guessing is a very, very, I mean, how do you have faith in guesswork? Faith is advanced knowledge. You know? That's why you can move so confidently, because you know what's going to happen. Amen. And if I was going in the ring and I was going up against Tyson, and they're going to give me $80 million for staying in there for 3 minutes, and I got a picture of what's going to happen, and I'm going to be all right, I'd go on in there. Come on, somebody. The problem comes when you don't know what's going to happen. You know, that's what faith does. When Adam fell, can I go here? When Adam fell, what faith did, faith allowed him to be able to look back up to the level that he had fallen from. See? So, now, as I'm here, I mean, that's what he does. See, Joseph saw the future. I mean, you know, I mean, the three Hebrews that went, and this is what they said. Now, they were threatened by Nebuchadnezzar with his furnace. And he said, you know, he said, "Now, you boys been doing all right up until now." Now, I'm putting this in First Winston. "You boys been doing all right up until now. But now, you're going against me here." And see, what they did is made a law on purpose. Some is, you know, their friends made a law on purpose to trap them, see, because they were being distinguished. Now, we'll get that during this time. And he said, "Now, if you don't bow down when you hear this music to this statue, then you're going to burn." Now, understand, their law told them that thou shalt not bow thyself down to any other god. Amen. Got it? Now, their confidence in that, see, I mean, they knew they weren't going to burn. And in that scripture, it's a funny thing. It says this. This is what they say. The God that we serve, he will deliver us. And then the next verse says, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods." Now, and what has happened? Religion took that and said, "Well, if not," meaning if not, we don't get delivered. If God don't show up on time, then we won't bow down to your other God. Well, if God doesn't deliver them, bowing down to their other gods won't be an issue. So you know that's not what it's saying. And religion has read that in there. Why? To give. The enemy has tried to create in the mind of a believer that God may not show up. And he always shows up. So, where was I? Praise God. I got carried away there. Flo, okay, all right. I done gave away the 100 now. That's you can pray the Lord. But this is what I'm saying here with this revelation knowledge. It is something that already exists. It's not something that's gonna happen. It's something that's already happened. And that's God has given you the ability to see things that are not things. Lord have mercy. Can y'all help me with this? Let's look at this. Come on over here. Come on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is not my message, but somebody's pulling. Praise the Lord. Listen, don't take something from Matthew 16. I'm not done. Praise the Lord. Just put something right there. I'm coming right back. Let's just look at this for just a moment. I just want to stay in the flow here. Flow. Okay. All right. Praise God. Now, y'all know where that came from, don't you? Y'all know where it come from? Everybody know where that came from? Flow came from? Oh, you don't know? Okay. Well, I was down in Panama, and we go down there to preach, and they gone in, flown in, and then some people pick us up at the airport and so forth, and some pastors and so forth. And well, one of the pastors that picked us up, they assigned this one pastor to me to help me with the bags and so forth. And he took me, and they introduced me to him, said, I would like you to meet Pastor so-and-so. I said, Pastor, good. How to meet you? And shook his hand and everything. And he just stepped back, and he said, after he shook my hand, he said, Flo. I said, all right, Flo, brother. Praise God. So we went on to the airport to the hotel, and he took my bags and so forth and so forth. I said, okay, I'll see you at 7:30. And he said, all right. He said, took back and said, Flo. I said, all right, Flo, Doc, Flo. And then that went on for about 3 days. And then I asked one of the pastors, I said, why every time I meet him, only thing he says to me is Flo. He said, well, Pastor Winston, that's the only English he knows. I said, well, praise God. Well, Flo did. He knew that. All right, look what it says here in verse. This is, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not. There it is right there. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed when? Day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are what? Temporal. Temporal means what? It's subject to change. But the things that are not seen are what? Eternal. They don't change. But those two verses are together. Look what it says here. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things that are seen. Amen. See, it'll work out for you if you don't look at what's seen. See, he says light affliction, which is for how long? Come on, read the verse here. It's for a moment. See, it's for a moment when you look not at the things that are seen. But if you measure on the circumstances, then your affliction will be heavy and long. Got it? So we have got to take our mind. We look at the things that are not seen, not as the things that are seen. The things that are not seen in the Word of God. It's a promise. Amen. And you got to keep your eye on it. Eternal weight of glory. When the glory comes in, time goes away. Amen. That's the power of the glory. When it comes in, Lord have mercy. Y'all got me. I'm going all over the place now. But that's what happens. You know, what it took 10 years to do can be done in a moment. Amen. In the glory. Amen. I went over to England to preach, and I told them I was studying for it. God said, go back and tell them that they can be a millionaire in a month. Amen. Well, you know what I had to do. I had to obey God. I went back and said, God told me to tell you all that if you believe him, you can be a millionaire in a month. Now, right away, the natural, carnal, fallen brain is going to try to figure out how can that be. Am I right about it? Sure it does. Now, that's not the way faith works. God says, how can they hear without a who? A preacher. How can he preach except I send him? So God sent the preacher to tell him that you can be a millionaire in a month. Right away, you start thinking, how can that be? It takes time. In the kingdom.
Yes.
Lord have mercy. We have been programmed in the natural progression of time. Jesus, in the book of Mark, it just continues to say immediately, straightway. You know what I mean? What is it saying? He was operating in the glory. He was operating as heaven, come on earth. Come on now, you ain't doing me right now, you ain't. How many of you know that we have been trained, our minds, before we got into Christ, we have been trained by a fallen system?
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
Now, if that be the case, now we're going to have to realign our thinking. Because we've been brainwashed. And we're going to have to come out of there. We're going to have to rethink everything. Everything's going to have to be reprogrammed again. Because God needs your mind. He moves, but he moves. He said, if thou can believe, all things are possible. That's a function of you consciously taking hold of something. Now, when I said that, now listen at this. Now just stay with me now, because I want you to download.
Yeah.
Somebody say download.
Download.
I want this to go from God into your spirit. Just like I'm about to read with Peter here. He said, well, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ. That's who you are. Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, Simon, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, for us to go beyond the intellect and to go beyond what has been programmed and to go beyond the world,
revelation.
You need revelation. I got to have something working in me that the world don't have working in them. Other than that, I'm going to just be colliding with them. And we're going to have to both share rulership. And we're not sharing rulership. The church didn't come to take sides. We came to take over. So when I said that, people, well, no, no, this is one of them way out preachers. No, 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 I ain't out far enough yet. I'm going to go out there before I leave up in here. Maybe not today, but you know what I mean? Because we're going out together, folks. We're going out there. We've been hanging around the shoreline trying to catch big fish. They're out there. And they're looking to a demonstration. And so, all right, here's an example. Here was a man. And Israel was in Samaria starving. They were surrounded by the Syrians. Syrians had just surrounded them. They couldn't get out and get any food, nothing. So now they ate up everything. Now they're talking. One woman told another woman, said, listen, look like we're going to die anyway. Why don't we boil my child and eat him? And then after we've all that's gone, we'll boil your child and so forth. And they agreed to that. All this kind of weird behavior. And what happened? They did it. One child. But then when it came to the other child, they said, no, I'm not doing that. And the matter came before the king. King rent his robe and so forth, repentance, changing thinking. Now what he said this, then a prophet showed up. See, a prophet showed up. One word. He said tomorrow about this time. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, religion never gives you a time. Because religion don't have dominion over time. Faith gives you a time. Faith will give you a place. Boy, I'm preaching now. Then you saying amen. Tomorrow about this time, it's going to be plenty and it's going to be cheap. And here's what one of the people who assisted the king, who had all this cerebral knowledge, he came and told the prophet this. Now, why are you telling them people that? See? And you, when I said millionaire in a month, you might have said that in your own mind. You might have whispered it to somebody. Now, why is he telling all these people that? See, that's called unbelief. Now, listen, now ain't no use you getting mad at me. I just got one session today, one tomorrow, one Friday, and I'm out. So, all right. Now, now listen to this. So, hear what I'm saying. How does faith come? By hearing. And hearing what? The Word of God. Now, this, what that prophet said, was not reasonable. The man that came up to him said, there is no way God can do this. There's no way he can deliver these people from this economic depravity. That's a big word. And deliver them in 24 hours. No way he can turn around the economy or the finances in their life in one day. No way he can do it. Here's what the man of God said. Well, you're going to see it, but you're not going to partake of it. You got what I'm saying? It's only for those who believe. So what happened? There are four lepers. Why? Because God's word will not return to him void. He going to find somebody. See, if you just believe, he didn't ask you to do it. He said, just believe it. Now, it didn't make sense because it wasn't designed to make sense. Because it's not designed for folks who got only sense. It's designed for the believer because it's designed for people who got faith. It wasn't making sense. It was making faith. So what do you and I do? Many times when we haven't come up to God's way of thinking, we look at a situation and we begin to judge it by our experiences. Well, once you're in the kingdom, experience is not the best teacher. The Holy Ghost is. And he can take you into experiences that you've never experienced before in your life. And that's what I've been seeing in my life. Because God spoke to me. I want you to buy that mall. I say, well, no, you get behind me now. You get. Why? Now, I'm thinking that's not God. But it came back to me again now, see. He's dropping this in my heart. I'm talking about the download. I'm talking about I'm open to hear from God. I want to know from God because I don't know any church that's got them all. I don't know nothing about that. They ain't never seen it before in my life. And right away, the first thing my mind did is say, reject that. And so I pushed it back, and it kept coming forward, kept coming up. And then I took one of our people there and said, hey, go check on that mall over there. And I said, it's huge. It's, you know, a shopping mall, about 33 acres. I said, check on, just see if there's a place that we could use that for our church and so forth. You know, I'm thinking, I'm just trying to figure this thing out. I'm taking another step. One of my people went over there and checked it out, and he was in construction. Hey, pastor, yeah, I saw that. He said, listen, we can use that little section right on the east end, right down there. I said, brother man, we ain't talking about that little section. We're talking about the whole thing. Whole thing! Brainwashed. Thoughts, not my thoughts. Now you think about it. The enemy has used it in dividing the church, even racially. Now think about this. You got these five different categories of race. Black, white, you know, brown, so forth and so on. Okay. See, I haven't kept up with it. And So what does it say? All those get over there. All these over here. All those over there. All those over there. Now watch this now. Over in Acts chapter 17, it talks about that they were Christians first at Antioch. Christians when? First. So suppose I get over here and said, okay, out of all them groups, all the Christians come over here. Boom. Everybody will come. Who's a Christian? Notice. Now they're one. All these different colors together. Lord have mercy. Thinking. When we're denominational minded, it doesn't allow us to do the kind of thinking that we can buy malls.
Yeah, right.
Because it's not kingdom. It's my denomination.
All right.
Now what did we just do now? We just purchased a commercial bank. Now what did I do? I told the people, I said, hey, God is speaking to me about buying a bank. Here's one of the pastors. By what? Bill Westerberg. Come on, man. I said, no, man. He's speaking to me about my man. Okay. Now I go on the internet. Churches. Revenue. I found out, $119 billion came into the church in money in the year 2002. So, whoa. Now, I'm coming from business now. Well, let me tell you, if we could take that and just put it together and just get $1 billion and invest it and get the float off of it, get overnight transfers, we can build 40 churches debt-free.
Yeah. Come on.
That's kingdom. So I saw we were trying to get to Mississippi on the wrong road. The road is the kingdom of God. Two or three times Jesus mentioned church in the Gospels. The rest of the 33 times or 35, whatever it is, he mentioned kingdom of God. And the rest of the 127 times in the Gospels, he mentioned kingdom. He said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Watch this. And the gates of hell will not be able to stop it. Folks, aren't you glad you're in the church? Now, I'm not saying coming against anybody or anything like that, because God uses them now. But the kingdom mentality is going to start taking over. I don't care what denominations they are. It's a kingdom mentality now that's got started. Because there's places you can go with that you can't go otherwise.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is. Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 1, please. Woo! Boy, that was tough getting that out. Praise God. Hey, man. I need my flak jacket. Okay. All right. Okay, let me know when you get to... What did I tell you? What did I tell you? Acts chapter 1. Okay, all right. All right, look at Acts chapter 1. Now, we're going somewhere. Say we're going somewhere. Look at verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after the passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to what? Pertaining to the what? Pertaining to the kingdom of God. So what are we saying now? We're saying that Jesus was teaching on a new reality. He was now exposing a whole new dimension, and he was bringing in this thinking on the kingdom. Now, I've been teaching that, and here he was what we call downloading. And I was looking at one of the scriptures that says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to what? Lay his head. Now let's shift over into a new, a little bit different revelation. Lay his head. Lay his head. We are the body of who? Christ. And up until that time, the Son of Man didn't have any place to lay his, come on, head. You got what I'm saying? You got what I'm saying? So now, we're going somewhere. Now, the church. All right. Woo! Satan knows his most powerful weapon is ignorance. Okay? Now, he doesn't like you to come to hear this word. That's why some of you had to press your way. Because he's not only trying to keep you from hearing the word, he's trying to destroy all traces of the word.
Yeah.
And so what God's people now are doing is they are rising up, because he operates only in darkness. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 30 that I think the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The Bible talks about you, that the Bible says entrance of thy word bringeth, giveth light. And it also talk about we are the light of the world. Yeah. All right. Now, so, Lord Jesus. You and I. Now, I'm not going to talk about the blessing, because I got a feeling Brother Copeland is going to do a job. I mean, outstanding. I mean, that thing in Fort Worth was very, very powerful. Now, he's been teaching on that, so he's probably going to do that again today. Or this series of teachings. Now, download. Now, revelation is going to elevate you above deception and above matter. So it doesn't matter what the doctor said, doesn't matter what the banker says. When revelation, when you go past the temporal, you can see things that you can hang on to with your faith. And that faith will transfer those things into your life. We've been trained to think in the natural processes of time. And that's why much of the things that we're doing are conforming to the world. And what we've got to do is change that now, because once you get faith is a higher law than time. And so faith stops time. It suspends time. Faith will take time and do things with time. Time, remember, was an element that God put in the earth, just like he put a tree in here. Time was one of those elements. So now we can come into time and do things with time. Time does not have to dictate to us. We can now dictate to time. Where the doctor said it will take time for this fracture to heal, but a brother man lays hands on you in name of Jesus, or the elder anoints you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, then his sins been forgiven. I've seen people heal right away. One man who was reporting sent me his newsletter. In some of the meetings, he showed me some pictures, or sent some pictures with it, of him having his meetings. And in some of those meetings, people were healed right there in the meetings as the word went forth. Yeah. Now, he built an expectancy, but they were healed right there. People were healed of blood disorders. People were healed of blindness. People even who had loss of hair came back. People who had hair that was gray, it turned brown. You want to know where the meeting is, don't you? And people who were overweight, some people lost 50 pounds, lost so much until their pants, they were holding their pants out at the same meeting. I'm talking about it didn't take no time. Folks, come on, come on. You see, the tendency is we're still in the kingdom. We're still trying to think like the world. We're out of that business. We're out of that business. Come on up here. Let's think up here. Praise God. God can take care of your situation while you're sitting in this meeting right now. All right. Okay. Let's deal with this. Now, let's go through this thing called the church first, and we're going to get it on and spin it on into the kingdom. I don't have much more time, but let's just start this. I've got to lay this foundation, so we got to stay here for just a moment. All right. Upon this rock, I build my church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. Okay? That's a profound statement for you. All right, now, you and I were chosen. Let's go to Ephesians, please, in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Look what it said in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace be it to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. Where? In Christ. According, that's a colon there, according as he has chosen us where? In him. When? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Lord Jesus. All right. When were you blessed? When were you chosen? All right. Let's get the revelation now. Chosen. Before I was saved, and I was running around with the guys and so forth, and I accentuate the fact that I'm speaking now before I was saved. Before I was saved. Okay? So, they would run around with the guys. So we go and end up somewhere in a little joint or something like that. Maybe at about 2 o'clock in the morning. And here I'm standing around with the guys. And we sitting around doing what you do with unsaved guys. And I'm standing up. And then I see a young lady start looking at me. Well, I caught her out of the peripheral of my eye. And I saw her looking at me. Then I kind of backed up to make sure it was me she was looking at. And then when I did that, I came back forward and I told the guys this. I said, brothers, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be with y'all. Look like I've been chose.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's understand that, because I'm giving you a revelation. Watch this. I was in a group. Picked out.
Yeah. Come on.
Got it? You are not just here because of coincidence. You were in a group. And he saw you and picked you out. You don't think you're special? You were chosen in him. When? Before the world ever was. You got it? Remember, God doesn't start until he's finished. He finished it all. You've been chosen. Now, you were chosen. And then he said, blessed. You were blessed before the foundation of the world. So you were not only chosen before the foundation of the world, you were blessed before the foundation of the world. We're over in Africa, and I was preaching with Brother Copeland, Sister Copeland, and Brother Copeland, he said something. I'm telling you, that thing went all through me. I ain't got over it yet. He said, you are richer right now than you can imagine in your wildest imagination. Boy, that's worth containing right there. He's a prophet. He's been sent to bring us that word. See, we're looking at Abraham out here in the desert out there with a few sheep and dirt all in his beard. That's what we're looking at. Folks, wait a minute. He had 318 servants. Watch this. Born where? In his own house. Well, if they were born in his own house, they had a mom and a daddy.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
Amen. Folks, it was about 2,000 people he had.
Hallelujah.
In a household.
Glory.
Then you go on over to Genesis 26, and it talks about Isaac. But before that, in the previous chapter, he said he passed all that he had to Isaac. Now, he had those other kids by Keturah. You know, after Sarah had passed, he was still kicking, so he got to Keturah and so forth. And with Keturah, he had those other kids, but, you know, he gave them $1 million apiece and said, see ya. But then, it says Isaac, where Abraham was great, Isaac was very great. Amen. That means he doubled it.
Amen.
Now he got 4,000.
Hallelujah.
In his own house. Now, why is that significant? Because by the time you get to Joseph, the blessing keeps multiplying. You got to see. This is what Brother Gump is talking about. And it keeps multiplying. And so now you get to Jacob. And what happened? Jacob's brothers, sons, they didn't like Joseph. Because Joseph had the dream, you know, and so forth and so on. He had a blessing on him and so forth. And so what happened is now Joseph gets, they threatened him to kill him, but then they decided not to because one of the brothers spoke up and so forth. So they threw him in a pit. Here comes a traveling band of Ishmaelites, and they came and got Joseph. And they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. They sold him as a slave. So now here's Joseph. And Joseph is as a slave in chains, in shackles, walking down to Egypt. Now, this going down to Egypt was God's taking a seed. Yo, kid, I got so much I want to tell you. Can I show you this? Turn with me. Y'all got time, huh? Y'all got to go eat. Y'all know y'all got to go eat dinner. Look what it says. Come on over. Come with me to Genesis, please. And let's go to Genesis and chapter 45. Let's just look at that real quick. Now, I'm still talking about Jacob. I'm still talking about this blessing and how this blessing is increasing. And it's because of the blessing of Abraham. But let's look at Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. See, when I say golf club, that may be a picture in your mind. But it may not be the picture that God has in mind. All right, let's look at this. And Genesis chapter, what did I say, 45, right? All right, 45. All right, look what it says here in Genesis chapter 45, and let's look at verse 3. Now, this is when Joseph's brothers had finally joined him down to Egypt, and God has raised him up now as a person who is actually, what can I say? He has taken over Egypt. Are you following? He's become the what? Prime minister or something like that in Egypt. But look what it says here in verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Watch this. Now therefore be not grieved, not angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve your life. Now, what did I just say? God deliberately planted Joseph in Egypt. And in Matthew 13, it says the kingdom of heaven, as if a man would plant a seed, a mustard seed, in his field. And that seed would grow up and be greater than all the herbs in the field. Have more influence than anybody. That God chose you out to come in church and be trained up. Why? To go back to the field. To be planted in there, because now there is an anointing on you. There is a blessing on you that he's going to raise you up to take over the field. Glory to God. What we've been trying to do, hang around four walls. Why? Because a church mentality. And not a kingdom one. Oh, man. Praise God. Amen. This is the day. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. We did that now. See? But what's my assignment? My assignment is in the world. Because it wasn't meant that I, as a church, be detached from the world. I am the world's only hope. Why don't you see that? He deliberately planted his seed in the world. Why? To save the world. How about Esther? Esther? Let me tell you something, girl. Turn on over there with me. Turn to Esther. I ain't got all day for you to find Esther now. Real quick. Okay? Over in Esther. It's before the book of Job. Esther chapter 4, please. This is good stuff. Now, I'm going to show you how powerful you are. And that enemy doesn't want you to know what I'm telling you right now. Because you got the juice. You can go in there and absolutely transform that world. Look what it says here in Esther chapter 4. Let me know when you get it. Say praise the Lord, somebody. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there in... Now, whoa. Look at me. For some people who don't know what happened. The king, Ahasuerus, had a wife or whatever named Vashti or whoever it was. And she talked back to him and he fired her. And so now he wants to go get another one. And he got Esther. Now, these are heathens, all right? He got Esther. So now Esther comes in here. Now understand, Esther's a Jew. She's coming into a heathen kingdom. But God has put her in there. Stay with me now. Stay here with me. Praise God. And so now here she is in this kingdom. And wicked Haman talks the king into making a decree to destroy all the Jews. Well, Mordecai hears about it, so forth, and he's Esther's uncle. So he told Esther, go before the king. Go on behalf of our people. You got to say something to him. She said, I can't go in there. Why can't you go in there, Esther? Because he's not invited me in. Well, Esther, you just got to go. Esther said, if I go in there and he's not inviting me in and he doesn't point that scepter at me, my head's coming off. Esther, girl, look what it says right here. Verse 13, then Mordecai commanded to Esther, to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether hold your peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom? For what? Such a time as this. For this very occasion. God can deliberately plant you in the world for a specific occasion. That CEO of that Fortune 500 company is going to be working one night, and so will you. And somehow you'll meet up together and get to talking, and he's got troubles on troubles. But you have been anointed. In Daniel chapter 1, he calls it the 10 times better anointing. And it's on you right now for problem solving. Glory to God. It's your time. Now, let me just finish what I was saying about Jacob. Because we were talking about how wealthy they were. And somehow the enemy is trying to tell us that they weren't. I'm telling you, folks, what you see on the outside is only a mirror of what's on the inside. He said, well, I'm always suffering with bills and seem to come short of money and so forth. Stop trying to take out the outside. Let's change the inside. We change the inside. See, and that's what happened to people in our ministry. It come from all kinds of places. Some come ghettos, so forth and so on like that. Bring them on. See, my job is to change the inside. If I change the inside, they go back out there and they'll change the outside. Because the outside is going to match the inside.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yes.
So here's what I'm saying with you right now. As you're in here this time, major on getting the inside change. A shift on the inside. Guaranteed when you get back out here, watch this thing explode for you. Watch it explode for you. Folks, I'm telling you, I had to look at everything, airplanes, everything. I had to stop looking at my checkbook. I had to start looking at my faith.
Amen.
Because I'm in the kingdom now. And when I went in the Air Force and flew airplanes in the Air Force, I didn't get to my first installation and they said, oh, Captain Winston, we're glad to see you. You're going to have to buy your own jet. That ain't what he said. Your days of earning a living are over. Now you said, well, oh, wait. Oh, praise God. Pastor Winston just told me I don't have to work. I ain't tell you that. See, that's that ignorance again. Now, what I told you this, sometimes you're going to work harder than anybody else, but you're not working for a living. You're in the army of God. You've already been taken care of. It is already yours.
Amen.
Now let me just finish up this. Praise God. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
So now, I've been chosen. Now I came into the church. Now I'm a member. Now a member is not talking about what's on the roll. He's talking about your function. My fingers are a member of my hand. My arm is a member of my arm. Why? It's got a function. You're a member. So you got a function in the body of Christ. Now, what do I have to do in here? I got to get you off provision minded and get you back on assignment minded. That's what I got to do. I got to show you how you can prosper independent of what your job is paying you. Because it may just be you go to a place that they're paying minimum wage for a season. And God will elevate you and you can have a minimum wage job and your own jet out there at Milwaukee Airport. Same time. Are y'all with me? Now, don't be trying to process all this with your mind because your mind just get it downloaded. And let the Holy Spirit just kind of teach you and show you some things to do. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, let's just go to one more place. Go with me to Luke chapter 19. We'll do this. We're done. Are y'all with me so far?
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
All right. Bring it.
Man.
Come on.
I didn't show you yet what Jacob had. Now, Jacob had some change. You know what I mean? He had some money. You know, I knew as a boy, when I was a little boy, I would sit, Dad, we'd sit at the breakfast table, and he'd pour me some milk. in the size of a glass, like a shot glass. Some y'all know what I mean by shot glass, little, you know. Some of y'all probably never, but us who've been there, shot glass. And I drink it. You know, I'm growing more. And I reach for the milk. You hit my hand. Too much is bad for you. Too much. I look at my brother. I say, what's up with him? Why we ain't had, I'm had anything. When I got able to make my own money, I got out, mowed them lawns, made me a few dollars, went down to the store and bought me a half gallon of milk, sat down the curb and drank that rascal, just drank it. Folks, there is something inside of you which is the nature of God that knows you're not supposed to be in lack. You're not supposed to be there. And what happens is people try to get it outside of the blessing. That's when they run into problems. Because the kingdom has a culture. It's a culture of love. It's a culture of holiness. It's a culture of righteousness. It's a culture of integrity. And you go into those places, hey, you got the kingdom in you now. Now, he's sending you in here. You say, well, Pastor, you mean I got to take a Bible and beat him over the head with it? No, I tried that. I had just, you know, I gotten saved and went to get going to Bible school, and I wanted somewhere to preach, you know. So I'd go out street preaching, and I got out there, and I got on the edge of this parking lot with this grocery store where all these people come in and out, and I was hollering, "You repent, you sinners! Jesus is coming soon!" You know, I'm thinking I'm doing something. Here comes a lady. She was one of the cashiers. She came out and kind of real humble. She came all the way across the parking lot, came up to him and said, Reverend, I said, yeah, I believe you'll get more of them if you're a little bit nicer.
Oh, I ain't going to hell. That's what's going to happen to him.
I'll show you a scripture tomorrow. He's putting you in there. Not to condemn them, but to pray for them. You see, Jesus said, I pray to the Father that he'll send more laborers. How many people unsaved? 4 billion? You're all he's got. You're all he's got. You're Jesus' arms. You're his legs. You're his mouthpiece. You're all he's got. And I believe we're the generation that he's been waiting for. We can do it. Now, I'm not talking about 4 billion over 4 billion light years. I'm talking about shrinking evangelism down by centuries.
Amen.
Through having dominion over time.
Amen.
Putting it all together. We can do this.
Amen.
One more place. Luke chapter 19. Are y'all with me? Okay, in Luke chapter 19, here's a man named Zacchaeus. Verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Somebody say rich.
Rich.
Now that word rich there is a word of one person pronounce it, I'll pronounce it, I thought I had it down here, I did have it down here. Plousios, P-L-O-U-S-E-O-S. P-L-O-U-S-E-O-S. I think that's the way you pronounce it. Plousios. It means to be abundantly rich or rich above people's imagination. Now look what it says. Zacchaeus was chief of the publicans and he was rich. He was what?
Rich.
He was what?
Rich.
But what was his occupation? He was a who? A tax collector. So here this man, he was a tax collector, but he wasn't only a tax collector. He was chief of the tax collectors. Now, a tax collector during this time was hated. By who? Everybody. Why? Because all he did was robbed them. So now, look what it says in verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Ha ha. And he ran before, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came into the place, he looked up, he saw him, and he said to him, he's calling his name. Now watch this. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste, came down, and received him, how? Joyfully. Question. Do you think that anybody prayed for Zacchaeus? Now, wait a minute now. Whoa, folks. Whoa, now. I'm including Jesus in that. Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. My point to you, that is the way people come into the kingdom. Somebody's got to birth them in. Somebody's got to bring them in. Are you following what I'm saying? So we have to pray for people who perhaps have a lot of money and perhaps are not doing the right thing with it. Because the wealth of the sinner, come on, is laid up for the just. And God gives the sinner travail to heap up to give to them that are good before God. Amen. So we're looking for the wealth transfer. Here's one of the streams. One of the streams is that when we're placed in a company and they have all the people who perhaps have garnered a lot of wealth, maybe they're not saved. Maybe they're not doing the right thing with it. Maybe our job is to pray for them. And now they can hear God come into the kingdom and come in with their money. I got news for you. If they don't come in with their money is still coming in without them. Last place. Look at it. And when they saw it, they murmured, look at it. When they saw it, they all murmured saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a who? Sinner. Lord, have mercy. Now, how many murmured? All of them. Why? Come on. Why did they all murmur? Because of what? Because he had stolen from all of them. Jesus going home with a man that stole my money. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him how much? Fourfold. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of who? Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek, come on, and to save that which is lost. Now, the reason why I brought that up is because that's part of our assignment. Our assignment is to seek and to save that which was lost. I was talking to a man that came to speak at our church. He said his congregation has won about 2 million souls to Christ. And he said most of those souls were not won through open-air crusades or big tent meetings or whatever have you. He said most of those souls were won in a one-on-one environment in their own places of work, where people work. Most of them were won. How were they won? By people who were saved, let their light so shine among men that they would see their good works and glorify their Father. They saw their actions. They didn't cuss people out. They didn't go and cheat on their time cards. They saw their actions. And pretty soon, something is going to happen that God is going to meet you up together. They might come in with a migraine one day. And you might just say, what's wrong? I noticed something wrong. So this migraine thing is just really getting me down. And you might say, well, listen, I know how to get a hold of God. Now, understand, you've got an anointing for this, to remove burdens and destroy yokes. You're the problem solver. You say, do you mind if I just pray with you?
Yeah.
I guarantee you, you do that, the power of God will take over and remove that migraine, and they're going to want to know who is your God. And that's what we're after. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
Did you get something out of that today? All right. How many of y'all have been chosen? How many now are being trained? Now, what you're being trained for is you're going to be planted where?
In the world.
Why? You're going to have people to see the light that is in your life, and it's going to light the way for them to come to Christ. Now, we're going to talk about it because sometimes the reason why we don't do what we're supposed to do and kingdom is not on our mind is because provisions are on our mind. Man, I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill, man. I can't go and take that job, man. That job ain't paying enough. I got to go get some. Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Suppose that wasn't an issue. Suppose God supplied everything you need.
Come on.
Come on. Suppose you could work that job down there at that place and still have a swimming pool in the front. It can happen, folks. But what we haven't been taught and hadn't had a revelation of how to do it. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. And because of it, your ways haven't been my ways. But we're going to catch up with it. Because everything the devil stole from you is coming back to you now. It's coming back now. Give the Lord a praise. Glory to God. All right, who we got here? Amen. Come on, amen. Glory to God. Did y'all get something out of that now? Did I? How many in here are blessed? You blessed right now. All right. Now, if you already blessed, we need to find out the way to manifest the blessing. Am I right about it? And we're going to do it during these next few days. Praise the Lord. We're going to do that. Yes.